Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And I've been in the Word and wanted to share some things with you that I pray will be a blessing to your heart. And our walk, our Christian walk, is one of living a life of the Spirit. And it's just impossible, brother and sister, to ever satisfy the natural man. Have you found that? I mean, the natural man just cries out, craves for satisfaction, for indulgence, and yet he's never satisfied. He can never get enough. Someone who is rich and wealthy, it's like they have more than they know what to do with, and they're still not satisfied. They want more. The natural man or woman finds no true satisfaction in pursuit of sinful pleasures, nor can one find happiness in the broken promises of sinful indulgence. There's always a sense of emptiness. It just doesn't leave one satisfied. Why? Because God has placed within the heart, the spirit of every man and woman, a desire to fellowship with God, and only God can fill that place. And we look at today's world, there's so many distractions, so many things that people try to use to fill that void, but they're not successful. There's no true happiness. There's no true fulfillment or satisfaction. Why? Because it cannot be found outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." It's through the revelation of Jesus Christ that we find our way to God. All the religions of the world have promised a way to get to God, but there is only one way. Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. You know, the old nature that is a part of the Adamic nature that we have, it cries out, and only if you might try some new path of self-indulgence that it promises that maybe there'll be some satisfaction waiting at the end of the journey. But every time that's experienced, all that is discovered is disillusionment and sorrow. The end of sin is death. It's disappointment. It's darkness. But that's the technique of the fleshly nature. That's what fleshly pleasure and the unrestrained flow of the Adamic nature brings. It promises so much, but gives so little. And this is a danger that we all have to face. Even the great Apostle Paul, remember, he said, "I keep my body under, lest in all of his preaching and all of his ministry that he also would become shipwrecked." And as I was going in the Word and I was reading the story of Samson, I found some lessons that we could learn from his experience. There's no question he was called of God from before birth. He was one of the judges of Israel. He was called to deliver the people of God. And let me just read a couple of verses found in Judges, the 16th chapter, verses 4 and 5. "And it came to pass afterward that he," this is referring to Samson, "loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines," because she was a Philistine woman, "came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." And in verse 6 she says, "And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And as I'm not going to take the time to read the story, but you know, he tells her a couple of false reasons of his strength. And, you know, it's just amazing. You'd think after those episodes that he would have learned. But she persists. She continues on and on. And finally, he breaks down and actually tells her the truth. And then in verses 18 and 19, let me read that. And when Delilah saw that he, Samson, had told her all his heart, in other words, he told the truth, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him, that Samson, sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep, and he said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." What a sad end for a servant of God, someone who'd been chosen by God to be a deliverer for the people of Israel. So what do we see here? She kept at Samson, Delilah did, and he just finally just spilled the beans. He just told her all of his heart, and she called for the lords of the Philistines, "Come up at once, he's shown me all of his heart." They came, and they brought her the money that they were basically bribing her with, and so he fell asleep, and she called for a man. His 7 locks of his head were cut off, and what we see here is that in this relationship, that this was not God's best. Can we say that? Here he was, he became a prisoner, he was blinded. What a sad state. Here he was, the great champion, great hero of Israel, a man of unparalleled strength. And yet, when he met Delilah, he lost all sense of his calling, all sense of responsibility. And I would just like to present a parallel to you. How many times have Christians lost their calling? They've lost their position. They've lost their opportunity to be really used of God to bless others because they refuse to accept their responsibility. When you look at some Christians, and I know if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you've seen this. Sometimes they're so infantile in their service to God. They're self-centered, they're self-willed, they're selfish, they throw tantrums, they're sickly, they're egotistical, they're lazy, they're unruly, they're rebellious, they're abusers of God's grace. They're altogether unprofitable. You might say, "Sister Glass, you're really being harsh." Well, I don't like to say that, but unfortunately, it's the truth in some cases. And it'd be better off if they just quit playing the spiritual charade that they do and admit that they don't really want to serve God. Their pretense is a stench in God's nostrils. Jesus said, "I'd rather have you hot or cold than to be lukewarm." That makes the Lord sick to his stomach. He said, I'd vomit you out of my mouth. And here, in this man, Samson, we see a man set aside from before his birth to be a servant of the Most High. And here he wound up putting his head in the lap of the enemy, of Delilah, a wicked person who sold him out. Think of that, for 1,100 pieces of silver. Samson not only sold his soul, but in a sense, he sold his nation. He not only suffered, but others suffered because of him. And I'd like to ask you, how many lives have suffered needlessly because Christians have refused to obey God and to serve Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength? How many times have the well-meaning Christians who are sincere, have had their trust broken and their hearts broken when they see leadership that has had moral failure over the years? We've had scandals that have rocked the body of Christ and been an open reproach before the world. What a sad commentary this is. It's a sad thing when Christians give in to the works of the flesh. And that the trouble with much of the church today, if you will, is like a Samson church, the church of power, the church of glory, the church of might, the church that Christ sent out to do valiant exploits, is that it's become enamored with the world. It's been seduced by Delilah, if you will, and has willingly aligned with the world. And as a result, the church in many, many places, too many to count, has been shorn of its power because it's been flirting with a world of iniquity and has compromised its position. Now, that's not true in some places. Some of you are members of good churches where the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God is moving. Thank God. There are wonderful places. There are shepherds that God has called after His own heart. But I'm speaking to those who are have aligned themselves, as Samson has, with the enemy. They've mingled with the world, and they've been shorn of its power because they have flirted and have been seduced by the wiles of the evil one. They've compromised its position. You know, you just can't mix the church and the world. You can't mix the holiness of God with compromise. You can't defile it with the profane. You can't maintain the power that that God has given the church if you will adulterate it, if you allow it to be to compromise it. And in a sense, if you will, the locks have been cut. What a sad commentary. What a sad place. In so many places we find ourselves, we become a reproach instead of being that glorious light set on a hill. The church, like Samson, has laid its head, its Nazarite head. He was a Nazarite from before birth, and there were specific things that a Nazarite did. They didn't drink of the fruit of the vine. In fact, they didn't even eat raisins. They didn't. They touched nothing of the vine, and it was a vow of consecration that some, like John the Baptist, like Samson, from before birth were a Nazarite. Others, as you read in Numbers, I think it's, what is it, the sixth chapter, the vow of the Nazarite, that a man or woman could take it voluntarily as a time of consecration and dedication to the Lord for a specified period of time. But he had been set aside from before birth, and the church, if you will, has put its set-apart head in the lap of a sin-cursed world, and we've been shorn of the locks of our power. And verse 19 says that Samson had seven locks. And tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to start looking, if you will, at these seven locks in view of the church world today. I pray that you'll be able to be with us. Those locks symbolizing locks of spiritual power that we need to look at in detail. God bless you. The announcer is going to be giving you our mailing address. I'm glad you joined me today. I look forward to receiving your letters. The announcer will give you that mailing address. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and support. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glassy. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.